Let's all pray together. O God, our gracious and merciful Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation, the God of infinite majesty and power, the God of our forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come before thee this morning, and we come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come in his name because we have no merit to come before thee. Therefore, we come trusting in him alone and his work that he has done for us on Calvary to come before a holy God like thee. Oh, Father, we confess our sins that we know that we are not worthy to come before a holy God like thee. But thou art a just God and a merciful Father. So you have made it possible for us to come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Father, as we come on such a day that has commanded us to keep it holy, we pray that thou will be with us and guide us and lead us, that everything we do here today, our singing, our prayers, our Bible reading, our preaching, everything will be done to the glory of thy name. So Father, come and dwell among us and take control and let thy will be done. For we have come praying in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, let's turn to our first hymn, to hymn number 275. Hymn number 275. Oh, praise the risen Prince of Light, who clothed in human clay, entered into the gates of death, and tore those bars away. Hymn number 275.
Yeah.
first Bible reading is taken from Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, I'm beginning from verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the ways of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabited the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me love me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of my joints. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They pass my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he have done this. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 22, a hymn that reflects on what we just read. Hymn number 22, version 1. Now let our mournful songs record the dying sorrow of our Lord, when he cried out in tears and blood as one forsaken of his God. Hymn number 22, version 1. second scripture reading is taken from Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, and I begin from verse 1. Numbers chapter 21. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwell in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver these people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of that place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to camp out the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people speak against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of the brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Aji Abaram, in the wilderness which is before Moab, towards the sun rising. And from thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zared. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Armon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of Amorites. For Ammon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the words of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Ammon, and at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is, the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looked towards Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but will go along by the king's highway, until we pass thy borders. And Sihon will not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Armon. Wherefore did that speak in Proverbs say, come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared, for there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It had consumed Ar of Moab, and the laws of the high places of Ammon. Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone. O people of Chemosh, he had given his sons that escaped, and his daughters into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them, Heshbon is perished, even unto Dibon, and we have laid them waste, even unto Nophah, which reached unto Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites, and Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof, and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him unto thy hand, and all his people and his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people, until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. We thank the Lord for his word, and we pray that he will give us the understanding.
Give a sincere and warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Accra, and this is our evangelistic service. We would like to suggest to our first-time visitors that you don't leave at once after the service, as we would like to know you more. We suggest to everyone else to wait for a few moments after the service for personal brief prayer before you leave. Our services and times during the week are as follows. Sunday morning evangelistic service, in which we are, is held from 10 to 11:30. Sunday school session in the afternoon is held from 3 to 4:30. The Sunday evening teaching service is held from 6 to 7:30. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And our Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. also. Our pastor, Anthony Bentu Menin, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for this evening's teaching service is Mr. Augustine Ousuado. Recordings of messages from this church are available at our website, grbcweb.org. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work.
Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can give of our substance unto thee. And we pray that thou will receive it and bless it and use it for thine own kingdom work. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you especially for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who left his high office in heaven and came to dwell among men, to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, and yet was accused of so many sins. All this he did on our behalf, that our sins will be blotted away, that we shall be reconciled unto thee, our source of life and our source of power. Oh Father, we thank you for such a Savior, and we pray that thou will enlighten us, that we will follow him and be true disciples of him, and to witness for him while we live in this world. Father, we thank you for all thy guidance and protection and direction throughout the week. Thank you for all thou hast done for us, the good health we have enjoyed, and even for today, for this opportunity to come before thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. For this is the day that thou hast blessed, that we should worship thee and keep it in holiness, with the promise of a blessing unto us. So Father, as we come, we pray that thou will be with us this morning, thou will come and take control, and to let thy will be done. Father, our singing, our worship, we bring everything before thee, that thou will be with us, that in the end, the glory will be unto you, and the blessing will come unto us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all our ministries, which we bring before thee one by one, for your blessing and for your guidance and for your direction. Father, we thank you especially for the gospel ministry. We thank you that in this fallen world, when all was sin, when all is sin and shame, Father, you have made it possible for us to preach this unadulterated gospel week by week from this pulpit. Father, we thank you for the people who have come in the past, and we pray that thou will bless thy word in their hearts, even those who come and do not come again, that thy word will be fruitful and effective in their hearts wherever they go, that thou shalt show them the way of salvation. Father, we thank you for our contact work in the community, distribution of tracts, and our engagements with people in this community. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for how thou hast blessed us, and for all thou hast enabled us to do in this community for the past 1 year. Father, we pray that thou will open the eyes of those who hear us, those who read our tracts, that they will come to understand the need for repentance and the need to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. Oh Heavenly Father, bless the community, especially those who have not come to know thee. Draw them that they will come and hear thy word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children ministry. Thank you for the children that was given us in this community, and for all the helpers and the teachers and the logistics and resources that we are bringing these children up in a godly way, trusting in thy word. We say that when they grow, they will not depart from it. Oh Father, we pray for your blessing upon this ministry also, that these children will continue to come. Even for those who have not been coming for some time now, Father, it is our prayer that thou will touch their hearts and bring them back. We thank you especially for all those who were able to speak to yesterday and who promised to come. Oh Father, we know that it takes only you and your power to draw them. So we pray that thou will bring them in when it is time for Sunday school. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our teaching services. Thank you for Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. Oh Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that without knowledge, your people perish. So we thank you that we have the opportunity to meet and to study thy word. And Father, we pray that thou will bless our hearts and our minds to understand thy word which is taught here, and that we shall live by the principles and be blessed by thee. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for how thou hast enabled him, even the idea to start this church in this community. Oh Father, we thank you for such an idea and all your help and guidance and protection over him. Thank you for the good health and the vitality that he has been able to commute from Cape Coast to Accra on a weekly basis. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have not heard of any incidents and any accidents or anything untold. Father, we know that all these are blessings from Thee. And we therefore pray for Your continued guidance and protection over him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for our prayer meeting ministry, for the opportunity to meet week by week and to pour our hearts unto Thee. And Father, we pray that Thou will bless this ministry also, that we can come and pray effectively and fervently unto Thee. Our Heavenly Father, at this time we bring before Thee our sister churches and all other ministers of the gospel, especially those who are preaching the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. That Thou will bless them, especially, Father, when we know that different gospels are being preached. Oh, Father, bless those who are preaching the truth, and let Thy people hear, that souls may be won, especially lost souls, those who have not come to understand the way of salvation. Oh, Father, make ways for them that they will hear and understand the way of salvation. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray especially for our sister church in Dansoman, TMBC. We bring them before Thee, Father, Thou knowest the problems and the trouble that go on there. Father, we know that this will happen. This will come. Attacks and challenges will come. But we rely on Your promise that Your church will always prevail. And You have said that we should not fear, for You have overcome the world. So, Father, we bring all of them before Thee, that whatever the challenges, Thou will intervene and to let Thy will be done. Father, we pray for same for the church at Swedro, pray for the church in Cape Coast, pray for the church in Kumasi, in Koforidua, in the Jura, and even those in other parts of Accra. Father, we bring all of them before Thee for Your blessings and for Your guidance and for Your protection over them. Father, we pray for other churches in other parts of this world. We pray especially for the Tabernacle in England. Thank You for the life of Dr. Peter Masters and his team. And Father, we pray that Thou will continue to be with them and guide them and protect them and encourage them to keep on with the work they are doing, especially their love for churches in Africa. Oh, Father, bless them. Those in America, those in Canada, those in other parts of Europe, in the Netherlands, the Dutch Reform. Father, we bring all of them before Thee, that Thou will be with them and guide them and direct them, that in the end Thy will be done and we shall be blessed. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation, Ghana. We bring before Thee our leaders, Father, for we know that You have put them there. And therefore, we pray that Thou will grant them wisdom, that in all their decision taking, Father, will continue to have the freedom we have to preach Thy word. We pray that they will think of the people who have put them in power, and every decision they will take, Father, will be geared towards this. We pray for the president, his ministers, and all those in authority. Father, we pray for the world at large, wherever they may be. Father, bless Your people, especially missionaries who are working in areas where there are troubles and wars and persecutions. Father, will bless and comfort and guide them, that in all of this, Father, Your way will go forth. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our upcoming events. We pray for our prayer meeting on Tuesday, our Bible studies on Wednesday, our weeknight meeting on Saturday, and even our next week's service. Father, we bring all of them before Thee, that Thou will guide and protect, and let Thy will be done, that through all of them, Father, You will be glorified, and we shall be blessed. Oh, Heavenly Father, very soon we are going to open Thy word. It is our prayer that Thou will send an unction from above to come and take control and speak through Thy servants, that Thy word may be heard. Heavenly Father, we thank You for hearing us, for we have come praying in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, our third hymn is taken from hymn number 357. Hymn number 357. come all souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by thy broken law convicted, through the cross, behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn number 357. Numbers chapter 21 and 2 verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And friends, our subject this morning is man's ruin and God's remedy. Man's ruin, R-U-I-N, and God's remedy. In this account, the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The background to this account is, we all know, is Israel in their journey when they were led by Moses. And God had been with them in all their battles. They were winning all their battles. God was providing for them in miraculous ways. And they lacked nothing. And yet, they started to speak against God and against Moses. And what did God do? God sent fiery serpents to be biting them. And they were bitten, and some were dying. They were going through terrible pain. And then they had to run to Moses for Moses to intervene on their behalf so that God would spare them for these fiery serpents. And there are so many lessons that we can learn from this passage. We know that as men, we have so many wants. Men, human beings have so many wants. And we are grateful if we are able to get all of them. We need for raiment, for housing. We need so many things, but there's one particular thing that we need most and pass all, and that is bread. That is food. Without food, no human being can live. Give him mansion, give him money, give him anything. Without food, he can't function. And that is why in the olden days, when people were looking for places to settle, what they look for is water, a fertile land where they can plant food. And even if they plant so many plants and vegetables, what they plant more is food, because food is what the body needs. And we have the same problem with the soul. The soul has so many wants. It needs instructions, it needs comfort, it needs knowledge and doctrine and enlightenment. But there's one particular need of the soul which surpasses all this, and that is the need, the want of salvation. That is the need of the soul, the want of salvation, the want of Christ. That is why we of the Reformed tradition, we don't stop preaching the gospel week by week, and again and again and again we preach the gospel, because that is our greatest need. Our needs are not, the Bible says we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the other things, the raiment and the food and the things we need, shall be supplied to us. The Bible also says that if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, it's useless. So this morning we are going to talk about how this account we read in the Bible, how the serpent which were biting them, the same serpent was used to heal them. And Jesus Christ made mention of this in John chapter 3. Let's turn there quickly. John chapter 3 and verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So this morning, all of you who have assembled here, my prayer is that I will be able to make it clear God's plan of salvation, especially for those who have not come to know God's plan of salvation. In the same way as the Israelites in the wilderness were beaten by the first serpent and they were saved from these serpents, in the same way Christ is lifted up for us, that we look up to him and we are also saved from our sins. We have been bitten by sin. In the same way as they were bitten by the serpent, we have been bitten by sin. And it takes only Christ to take us out of that situation, to save us out of that situation. Because of sin, we are so defiled, we are so dirty, that we cannot come before God, our source of life, unless through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I'm coming to talk about sinners who are dead in trespasses, that you are ruined. If you are here today and you are not regenerated, your sins have not been forgiven you, you are ruined. And then I will also talk about the remedy. There are people here who have heard the word so many times, so many years, and yet have not felt the power of the word. Such persons, I entreat you to lend me your ears as I come to talk about this very subject which concerns you. You are ruined. You are ruined. It's a very serious situation that we should take care of. In the same way, like I said, how the Israelites were ruined. How were they ruined? I've just told you that they were murmuring against God. Apart from all what, as we read in the account, we saw how God led them to win their wars. See, when God was taking them through to the promised land, there were so many routes that he could have taken them without even passing through where the Red Sea is. But why did God pass them through there? To show them his power. So that wherever, when they come to the land where they are going to settle, they will never fear anything. So he had to pass them through where the Red Sea, he opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. When there was no water, he gave them water from the rock. After seeing all these things, they were murmuring against God. And God allowed the serpents to bite them as their punishment. Now, like I said, if you are here today and you have not had your sins forgiven you. There are four things, very serious things that stare at you, which you must pay attention to. And the first thing is your sin. Your sin. You may say, oh, yes, I know I'm a sinner, as the rest of mankind. Everybody is a sinner. But God is not content with just that confession. There are multitudes of men who make confessions of their sins, and yet God is not content. Very few of them take steps to get rid of that sin. So mere confession and believing that you are a sinner is not enough. If you are without God and without Christ, know that it's not only that the world is lost, but you personally, you yourself, sin has defied you. And therefore, you have no relationship with God. Even though He created you, you are not His child because of sin. And this sin has stained you to the point that because God is holy, 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 you have no contact with God. Can you count your sins? If I ask you today to count your sins, some of you have lived for how many years? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of sin. And how many sins do you commit even in a day? Multiply that by the number of years you have lived in this world. So that it's so many that you can't even count. And if, even as you are counting, you continue sinning. Sins of the mind, sins that people don't see, you commit all these things. And if you were to count them, they are so innumerable. Even all your life, you can't even count them. Sometimes you may say, oh, but there are little sins. Maybe some lies and some enviness somewhere. But put them all together and see how great and how the number of sins you have committed. And then, if we were to open your book of life, remember, even if you are forgetting your sins, God never forgets. God puts down every sin that you commit. You know, apart from your sinful nature by heritage, you have also sinned by choice. If we should count all of them and bring them before God, where will you stand? And God cannot just say that sin should just pass because I'm a merciful God. No, something must be done before your sins can be forgiven you. If you should talk about the sins, there are many of you, including myself, who maybe in the past have cursed God. Many people curse God. Do you know that? Many people curse God. If He is a God of love, why is this thing happening? Why are there wars? Why are we getting sick? Why are we dying? People curse God. Even though it rains, the sun shines. Yesterday we were learning about the sun here. And if you really go into the sun, into creation, you see how God loves us, how God has provided for us. And yet we can stand and say that there's no God. Or even if there's God, I've got nothing to do with Him. People curse God. Now, there are so many things that people commit. And like I said, they can't just be put away. There has to be a greater ransom for our sins to be forgiven us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, we learn that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Last Tuesday, I had a call from somebody, and he was having an argument, they were discussing salvation. And he was of the view that it is only through Christ and His blood that sins can be forgiven. And there were others who were saying, no, that can't be true. There has to be other ways. There has to be other ways for sins to be forgiven us. It can't only be through Christ. And then he called me because he couldn't quote the Bible to them why it takes only Christ to have our sins forgiven us. So I had to take my time to get some Bible passages and send it to him. So people don't even believe that it takes only Christ for our sins to be forgiven us. But like I just said, the Bible is clear that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And what kind of blood are we talking about? Is it any other blood? Is it animal blood? Is it our blood? No. because our blood is tainted with sin. Angels don't have blood. So Christ had to come in the form of a man who had blood, so that through his precious blood, our sins shall be forgiven us. There are those of you who were brought up in Christian homes, and yours is even far greater. People who were born in Christian homes and yet have not come to give their life to Jesus Christ. Because such people, they have sinned against their mother's prayers, they have sinned against their father's prayers, they have rebelled against God's law because they knew God's law. Their parents took them to churches, they learned about God, and yet in later years, they have rebelled against God. And such people, their sin is even more than those who did not know God, because they were sinning against conscience. When you are sinning, your conscience pricks you. The conscience is like the policeman. When you are sinning, it will prick you. And yet you suppress your conscience and go on sinning. And if you do that, you are ungodly. Like I said, your mother took you to church, your father took you to church so that you learn about God. And all these things, you throw them away. And like I said, it happened to all of us. It happened to me. I used to go to church with my mother and my mother. Well, my father was a Muslim, so I never went with him. But I used to go to church with my mother. And when I grew up, I forgot about all these things. And then I was in the world. And such people, sin has beaten you. And the sin, the bite is not like an ordinary wound. This is like a venom. When a snake bites you, it's a venom that goes through your system. That is why if care is not taken, you quickly die. That is what it is. Our sin is like venom that has entered into our system and gone into every part of our body. There are those who God has brought closer to Him. How does God do that? Sometimes through sickness, through affliction, God draws you. And when you are in that state, you vow to God that when you take me out of this, I will worship you. I will give my life to you. And then God hears you, heals you, provide whatever is needed for you. And then you go back to the world again, as we saw in the life of the Israelites. When you do that, you have been a liar to God. You have deceived Him. You have pretended that you love Him, but just because of what you wanted. And think of some special sin that you have been committed, especially as you come to church right now and we talk to you about your sin and you are convicted of your sin. But then you walk out of the church and that is it. Such sin is also very, very grievous. It is not a mean sin. Then you are striving against the Holy Spirit. You come to church, we tell you about your sin. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. You go out and that is it. You forget about it. You are striving against and you are resisting against the drawing, how God is drawing you into the right path. Think about all these things. Don't hide them, because even if you bury them, they will come up. Like I said, there's no sin that does not go before God. Every sin is before God. So it's better for you to confess it and repent and come out of it. Now, the second thing is that you are not only a sinner. You have been sentenced. You have been condemned. Everyone who does not have Christ in him is condemned. It's not like you are on trial. You have been condemned. You are only living in this world. This world to you is your condemned self. You are only waiting for the day of execution. You are condemned. Sometimes, when I listen to some preachers, they preach as if everybody is saved and we are only left with things that we can gain in this world. No, we are condemned. We are in a condemned cell. This world is our condemned cell. We are only waiting for one particular day when God will come and execute us. John chapter 3 verse 18 says, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not on the Son of God." So if you have not come to believe in Jesus Christ and giving your life to him, you are condemned. You are only waiting for your day of execution. A capital sentence is passed on you. When you go to court and the judge looks at your case and he passed your sentence, it is finished. You can't tell the judge to give you time to repent or to reform. No, you go to prison because your sentence has been passed. And that is what happens to us. Because of our sin, our sentence has been passed. And there's only one way open to you for escape, which we are going to talk about later. Now, these two things are enough to make you tremble, isn't it? You are sinful, you are condemned. But that is not all. There's a third one that will worsen your situation, and that is your helplessness. Apart from your sin and your condemnation, you are also helpless. There's nothing you can do about it. Like I said, when you are judged at court and your sentence is passed, there's nothing you can do. You can't tell the judge anything. You are only waiting for your sentence. There's nothing you can do. People talk about performing good works, reforming. No, you can never do that because you are dead. According to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, you are dead in trespasses. So you are helpless. There's nothing that you can do. You can say, oh, I will repent. How can you repent when you are dead? You are already dead, so you can't even repent. It takes the same Holy Spirit to come and awaken you from that state before you can even repent. So you are so lost, you are so ruined, you are so undone that you can do nothing to save yourself. The wound is so bad, it's so deep, the venom has gone so deep into you that it has made you dead. There's nothing you can do. So you are like in the hands of God's justice. You are in the hands of God's justice, just like a little ant beneath our fingers. That's how we are before God. God can just squeeze you, and that will be it. You are unable to escape from the hands of God. You are in His grip, and there's no door of mercy open to you unless the Holy Spirit comes to revive you from your state. Now, you are not only guilty of passing and condemned, and you are unable. Even if you are able, you are so bad that you are not even willing to come. When the opportunity is open to you, you go in for the wrong one. You go in for evil because that is what you are made of. Somebody might say, oh, me, I like things which are good. Even if you love things which are good, it is for a bad motive. It's not because you love God. You do that from a bad motive. You may say, oh, me, I'm honest. I like honesty. You like honesty, yes. But it's because it is the best policy. It is not because you love God. It is because honesty is the best policy. So you are too bad to believe the truth. Your state is so bad that you can never, never, never believe the truth. When they put the truth and the lie, you go in for the lie. Some people are so proud, and that is why they will never be saved. They will never like to come as low to ask for mercy and grace from Christ alone. And if you do that, you can never, never, never be saved. You are totally unable even to feel the misery that you are going through. And by you'll be so proud to think that you can be saved by your own works. If you think that you can be saved by your own works or by you doing something and the Holy Spirit doing part, it's a serious blasphemy. You are saying that the creator needs the help of the creature to do something. You are saying that God needs your help to be able to do what He wants to accomplish. That is why you can do nothing. It is all by the grace of God. If you think that you can do something, then in effect you are saying that you, as sinful worm as you are, God the Creator, the powerful God, needs your help to be able to save you. So it can never, never be that. It's like the clay asking the potter. know, the clay telling the potter that the potter needs the clay to be able to mold. That is what you are telling God. If you want to say that you can be saved by your works, no, you can never be saved. You are so helpless. You hate to be saved. By nature, we hate God. You love darkness. That is why when there's light, you hate it. So, I think with these 4 points that I've laid down before you, you can see the state of man is unpleasant. You are condemned. You are in hell. For every living man or woman and child in this church who has not have faith in Christ, you may be a fine gentleman, nice lady, a respectable tradesman, accomplished person in your business or whatever, what I'm saying to you that Almighty God hate Almighty God, and Almighty God's anger is upon you. You are condemned and you are waiting for one fearful day that you will be executed. So having told you about your ruin, now I come to the remedy. In science, I know those who do science, I can't talk much about it, but I know that they say something like cures like. Like cures like. What it means is that one thing is cured or fixed by something of the same nature. Like even virus. Before a virus can be treated, another virus is injected, isn't it? So for something to be cured, it needs its own likeness to fix the faulty one. So now, how is Christ put on the pole for us, as the serpent was put there? First, you know we are charged with sin. I mentioned our sin. That because of our sin, that is why we have lost our relationship with God. So how does Christ relieve us of this sin? Now, there has to be a sin of offering. And in Christ, you see a substitute in Christ. You see a substitute of your sin in Christ. In the same way as you see the virus in whoever you want to treat. So when Christ was on the cross, a prophecy was being fulfilled. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, we are not turning there, but you can jot it down. 53 from verse 5 to 9. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, so Christ was there, even though he knew no sin, because he was accused of sin. So we had a counterpart of our sin in him. So when you are looking up to him, you are looking up to him that your sin is in him. God has cast him off. He put his wrath upon his own anointed Jesus. All the terrors that were supposed to be on us will be on him. Why? Not as him as a sinner, but he was numbered with transgressors. He was numbered, he became sin, so that we can have our sins forgiven us. In the same way, as those who were bitten by the serpent had to look at the serpent, had to look at the poison there for them to be saved, in the same way we have to look at Jesus so that our sins can be forgiven us. Why made Christ to die? Why did he die? Did he sin? Is there anywhere in the Bible that we hear of Christ sinning? No. But we hear that he died, that our sins will be forgiven us. You may say that your sins are too many to be forgiven, or too serious to be forgiven. Look unto God, unto Christ. There's no sin that you can think of that was not put before Christ. So the ransom he paid was a very heavy ransom, and it can take care of the sins of every human being, any kind of sin you can think of. Are you talking about lie? He was accused of lying. Remember when he said they should put down the temple and he will build it in 3 days? They accused him of lying. When he said God was his father, they accused him of blasphemy. So even if you have blasphemed and you think that it's so grievous that you can't be forgiven, look to him. He blasphemy was he was also charged with blasphemy. There's nothing, there's no sin that you can think of that Christ did not bear. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, he talks about how his grace abounded. He said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And in verse 20 he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So you see, Christ has more grace, the ransom he paid, for everybody, every kind of sin. So when you say his grace abounded, it means it ran over. It saw so many, it was enough to fill all the empty vessels. Christ's redemption was so plenteous that God, if all the sinners were like even the sand at the sea, it can cover it. It was so plenty. And if even you are not satisfied with the offering of Christ, if you don't believe that the offering of Christ is enough for you to have your sins forgiven, think for a moment that God is satisfied. God, the one that we have offended, is satisfied. Because if God was not satisfied, Christ would have died on the cross. The fact that Christ came back to life means that God was satisfied with the sacrifice. So there's enough in Christ that every sin you have committed, you can look up to him, and then you know that your sin will be forgiven. Like I said, if you talk of blasphemy, Christ died for blasphemy. This was the very charge that was imputed to him. If you read Matthew chapter 6, 26 verse 65 to 66, it says, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And what did Christ say? Christ said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the cloud of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we of witnesses? See, he was accused of blasphemy when he was speaking the truth. So even if you think that you have blasphemed and you think that your sins cannot be forgiven you, your sins can be forgiven you. Whatever sin you can think of, like I said, there's a counterpart in Christ which you can rely on, and then your sins will be forgiven you. Now, if you think that because I said you have been condemned, Christ was also condemned. He is not just a substitute, he was also condemned before Pilate. When he went before the Pilate, he was found guilty and he was also condemned. So if you think of your condemnation, it is still in him. He was also condemned. You don't think that you have been cursed, he was also cursed. Because according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, he said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the fact that he was hanged on the tree at Calvary means that he was also cursed. So there's curse in him if you think that there's curse in you. You may think that as for you, you have practiced spiritism, maybe with demons or whatever. You have signed a covenant with demons. Christ signed a better covenant with God. And the covenant that he signed with God is a covenant that was signed for us. So no matter where, how far you think that you have gone, even into the evil world, Christ is there to take care of you. So friends, this morning I want to entreat you, wherever you are, whatever sin you think you are committed against God, it is in Christ. And he was laid on the cross for you, that looking up to him, that sin will be forgiven you. If I preach to you, which I know my preaching might not be as powerful as it is, it is Christ preaching to you right now. He is telling you, he said, come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said that, sinner, you can trust in me. I'm the Son of God. Yes, I'm a man. Look at my wounds. See the nails and the prints and all those things. Can't you trust him for all that he has done? You can trust him. He is somebody that you can trust. Now, he's calling you this morning. Will you believe in him and turn unto him as he has promised, that if you come, he will never leave you nor forsake you? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So don't believe the devil when the devil tells you, oh, Christ is not ready to save you. You know, he's not willing to forgive you. Don't believe in this world. Don't believe in what is happening in our with our media men. Believe what Christ has said. He was laid on the cross. He was crucified on the cross, that your sins will be forgiven you. And all what you need to do is to believe. And even the belief, he gives you. Because like I said, you are helpless. He gives you the belief, the ability to believe, the ability to have faith in him. He gives you all these things. All you need to do is to come. Say, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come to him this morning as he's calling you? Or will you continue to hear the word and go out and it goes out of your mind? Like I said, I may speak feebly to you, but God is speaking to you. Christ is calling you this morning. He said, wherever two or three have met in my name, I am in their presence, especially when the true gospel is being preached. So Christ is here among us this morning. Will you call on him? Will you come to him, that your sins will be forgiven you? That all your sins, no matter how crimson your sin is, there's enough in Christ to forgive you. So come to him now. Bow down your head wherever you are. Go to him in prayer. Confess your sins to him. And he's faithful to forgive you and draw you closer to himself. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who became sin for us. And in him, we can look up to him to have all our sins forgiven us. Father, we pray for your blessing upon thy word, that as thou hast promised, that thy word does not go and come back in vain. All those who hear you this morning, and even for those who listen to it later on the internet, will be pricked in their heart, and they will believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, turn unto him and be saved. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing us, for we have come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to our last hymn, to hymn number 260. Hymn number 260. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Hymn number 260.
Come on.
may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.